Hansen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Manson.
Shaq.
All this has been recorded.
This is what we do. We sit here and record the entire thing. That's why you have to.
This is what we do. We record on you.
You have to sit here and kind of like decide when we jump in.
Maybe after that explosive diarrhea would have been a good time for me to do it.
It would have been liquid, actually. It should have been.
Already, I'm a bad host. Should I just start it now? Should I just make it happen now? Hey, guys, welcome to the Horrible Podcast, where we give you a face value view on horror movies. I'm your host, Devin Arnold.
That joke never gets old.
Reporting live from some camp for art kids in New York or something.
You have no idea what you're talking
camp
about.
Camp on a Wanna from Salute Your Shorts.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
I mean, that's something like what he's doing. I, of course, am not Devin Arnold. I am Rachel / Pugs Please, and I am like the surrogate Devin, it seems like, lately, which is... I don't know if that's okay with me, but it's what we're going with right now. We've got three of your normal favorite spooky boys, though.
We are nobody's favorite. That's not true.
Well,
I'm the favorite.
Well, today.
I'm the baby.
All right. Well, little baby, we'll get to you in a second. I want to start out. Bluester, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling saucy, feeling bossy.
Hey, nice.
Saucy and bossy. What kind of sauce, though?
Well, earlier it was the alcoholic sauce, and then lately it eventually turned into pizza sauce.
Now more of an Alfredo, I would say.
It's really more of a stew now.
What kind of stew you got going?
Well, I could rhyme with stew, but we don't want to go there.
Maybe you got a stew going.
What about you?
I don't know. I'm drunk as shit. We've been marathoning.
That's not
these
what
movies.
She asked you. She asked what kind of sauce you.
Oh, what kind of sauce I am?
I actually didn't ask that, but I would like to know that as well.
Kind of like one of those vodka sauces you do in a nice penne.
That stuff is too good.
It gets you turnt. I'm feeling it right now.
So Dylan, what is this? What do you call this drink you're drinking?
It's called Coors Light, dude.
Yeah, but what do you refer to?
Silver Bullet. I got a sixer of them. Six shooter. I'm shooting them right down to my liver.
I thought the Silver Bullet was like a vibrator.
Well, it is maybe.
Dylan likes to think about that when he's drinking Coors Light, so he gets sexual
it's
satisfaction.
It's giving me good vibrations, that's
okay.
All I'm going to say.
All right.
Well, you know, there is a beautiful occasion we're all celebrating here today, and that is...
Yeah, I wouldn't get drunk for anything else.
Yeah, that's the only reason that we're drinking tonight, and that is the birth of our darling boy, our pride and joy. Manson, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm feeling great. My sauce, if you'd like to know.
I don't really.
Well, sauce you know when you buy those like Cinnabon cinnamon rolls at Kroger and you like bake them at home and they have that cream cheese icing? I'm that
shit,
sauce right
dude.
Now. I'm feeling real good, real sweet.
Real
people
sticky.
Have been loading me up with drinks all night, so I'm feeling pretty good.
You weren't going to do anything with loading me up, Bluester? You're just going to let that one slide?
Brandon's been off his game tonight.
He really has.
A sick little boy or something.
I just want to say that... These like jokes where I come in, oh, there you go, where I come in and I say
nice.
The line.
Well done.
I've trained you all so well that you already know what they are and you expect them, and so I can just sit back.
It's true.
Like a proud father.
There were several times in one of the movies we were watching that Kelsey and I just kept looking over at him, expecting it, just waiting, and he just wasn't reacting.
It's kind
of
like
was it?
One of the ones we get to.
Was it in the middle or?
Well, the worst one.
Okay.
It's kind of like the whole teach a man to fish kind of thing.
It's true.
But you teach a man to make cum jokes and...
Teach a man to make fart jokes and he'll make them for eternity. And then I can just sit back and enjoy the, reap the dividends.
All
right. Do you feel like a proud papa right now?
I literally am a proud father just watching all these fart and cum jokes just come right out of your mouth.
From your spooky, spooky boys.
Well, Papa Bear, why don't you lead us out with the first movie that we watched this evening, the... Manster.
Well, sure. Before I get into that review, I just want to remind people that we've got email, Twitter. Feel free to, after we give you these horrid reviews and we talk about these filthy movies for
complain
our boys.
Complain about it.
Exactly.
Please.
I want you to tell us how disgusting and awful we are, especially me. I need to get a critique.
Just like a week off on Manton, though. Don't rag on him.
No,
yeah,
his birthday.
No,
this is his birthday week.
You can't do that.
Give him a freebie.
Yeah, you have to tell him you love him and he has a beautiful body.
You have to
body.
Agree with my reviews.
He's your special boy, your darling boy,
my pride
and
joy.
You got to.
But our Twitter is @horriblecast. Email is horriblepodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. So anyway, Rachel, I'm doing The Manster.
The Manster.
Right? And so I want to just let Dylan tell us how he picked this movie for Manton.
I picked it because I saw the title and the title was The Manster.
It's perfect. Well, there did you also say, I think when we started watching
it, I've had all of our like our birthday ones planned out for the whole year. I've had them for all of my Spooky Boys. I've had them for 6 months.
Such foresight.
Since I knew we were going to be doing this, I guess for the first one was for you, right? And I gave you the shaft.
I don't think. Yeah. I think we should kind of explain the idea a little bit.
Okay,
so
okay,
basically
okay.
The idea is that on each of our birthdays, the other three are going to pick a movie, mm-hmm. and that can be anything that maybe they will love, maybe they'll hate,
true.
But something that is tailored to them in some way. So they've picked three movies that are tailored
to
Blister me in
some way.
Blister
gave me Destined for Ingest, just to fucking goddamn it.
Destined to be ingested.
You know, Destined to be ingested because I've got blood problems.
Yeah.
It's really nice of you.
He's notorious for his
bowels.
I gave
you the shaft because I know you want it. And
absolutely.
And I gave Manster the Manster because he's the Manster.
All right, I'll take it.
You know, with that history, you know, knocked out and everything, The Manster is a, I believe it's from the 60s or the 50s. It is a black and white movie. And
so Devin automatically hates it.
Exactly.
So, I do, yeah.
There we go, surrogate Devin.
You're nailing it right now. But so this is a movie we start out and we kind of see a gruesome, almost kind of like Yeti attack the small little town. It's kind of tight. Some blood's flying everywhere. And we're like, ooh, the
intrigue. It's a sick title bump.
It is a really powerful start, I got to admit. And it kind of gripped me. So quickly after this gruesome assault, we find that there is a scientist it's like on top of a volcano or a mountain or something. He's a mountain man, and he's got his little beautiful mountain lady. And they're just these evil scientists that are just trying to brew up these weird concoctions that make people morph into monsters.
He has the most Japanese name ever, Robert Suzuki.
It's pretty cool. This movie is bizarre. It's very multicultural. We have lots of different like cultures being represented, and everyone speaks perfect English, but it's got tons of actors from other countries' names. I don't know. It's a really interesting movie, but
it's supposed to be Japan,
and we also have like some different languages, and it's a pretty fun movie, but whatever. So this man and this lady on top of this mountain, they're making weird concoctions to make people turn into monsters. So this guy, he comes up, he says, hey man, I'm a reporter, I'm typically a war or, you know, big news reporter, and I've heard that you've got some interesting experiments going on. I want to know what the hell you're doing. So the scientist thinks this is a great idea to just goof this guy. So
he just spoofs him.
He gives him a couple drinks, and the guy starts to feel a little woozy. And then while the guy's napping in his little laboratory there, he just gives him a little pinch on the neck there with his little needle.
Gives him that prick.
And he gives him his little prick. And this guy, immediately from this moment, his life changes. He starts becoming a more aggressive and just dominant, sexy, strong man that he is. And
Would you say sexy?
Sexy in the typical 50s, 60s
okay,
sense.
Sure, yeah,
he
yeah.
is a big, strong chin, and he is going to dominate any woman in his path. And so this man goes back to town, and his life starts getting flipped, turned upside down. And
ooh.
Ref for you there. And so we need to understand and follow this guy's path to see what exactly is going on. And it's kind of a very quickly
spoiler
escalating.
Alert, he's turning into a manster. Man monster.
No spoiler there, but quickly his shit's escalating, and his life is just devolving into nonsense. So
one of the first things that we see in this movie is we see our mad scientist character. He kind of goes down into his evil laboratory, and we see there's
a volcano base.
Yeah,
it's comical.
Tight.
It's cool.
I don't want to say like our scientist character is pretty well performed. He's pretty interesting.
Really like him.
He's pretty charming. But he goes down, and he's got the first thing we see is he's got this woman caged up who looks kind of like a monster, but kind of not. What is her name? Emiko.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we also find out that he's got some sort of a Yeti monster down there. And luckily, though, he's got like a trap door that leads straight to the volcano that he just promptly throws him down after he tells us it's his brother.
Break glass in case of monster, you know.
So the villain is kind of set up, but he is likable.
But that's the thing, though, is he's not like outwardly a villain. Like there's actually enough like gray area and complexity to this main villain, quote unquote, that he's kind of sympathetic and actually is probably the most interesting character in the movie.
He is. And I think, though, that is kind of like the stereotype or the kind of like the, you know, very defining of the time. Like every sci-fi movie at that era had that scientist that's like, oh, was what I'm doing bad or is what I'm doing good?
Well, but I totally suspected at the beginning when I saw like on the back of the box that this was going to be Dr. Suzuki, that it was going to be some like Charlie Chan Asian stereotype, like horrible Fu Manchu type character.
Like that at
but he's
all.
Really not. It's actually pretty tactfully done.
Yes.
Like he's just a guy. Like the fact that they're in Japan is kind of incidental.
I also respect that one of the first scenes we meet him, he just explains everything he's doing. He's like, I'm having experiments to turn people into monsters and find.
But he's not like trying to turn them into monsters.
No, he's like trying to find deeper, I guess, emotions
it's
or
about,
something.
He's explaining it to who I guess is our protagonist,
Larry
Stanford.
Larry Stanford. How He's like, have you ever heard of whatever, what kind of, some sort of evolution caused by like
gamma rays,
And he's like, well, I'm trying to find a way to like evolve things with chemicals, and I think I found a way to do that. But he's not evolving like animals, he's evolving people.
Well, yeah, for science's sake, okay, I can buy it. Like he's in it for the real experimentation of it. I mean, he's kind of shitty and shady, but honestly, he's not as shitty and shady as our main character.
That's the big thing, yeah. Larry Sanford is kind of the worst.
What a dick.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big downfalls of the movie to me, yeah. Is, for one, like, immediately, Larry is just not really super likable. He also is not really well enunciated. He's just like, I don't talk real fast. I'm gonna talk like this.
Yeah, he's really like mealy mouth, kind of like radio announcer type of. Yeah. I'm like, what are
you? But he's got that chin, guys. What more do you need?
Well, that's about it. He looks like a dude who, I don't know, is just
a strongman.
Yeah, strongman.
But that's the thing. I feel like I see what they were going for. He as soon as we meet this guy, he already gets altered with this whatever this chemical is that the Suzuki
is. It's a Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing.
Right. And so I feel like what we were supposed to know is that this guy is a great guy, he's upstanding, whatever, and then he goes down this horrible path, but we don't see the good path.
Yeah, they spend like 5 minutes establishing like him as a good, maybe, and when they say good guy, he's just like a guy. Like there's nothing...
Right, he's just whatever fucking
nothing
dude.
That establishes him as the other extreme. So when he descends into this like mansterness, it's basically just like, well, this is just this dude being a dick.
Right, that's
all we
know.
It's kind of funny because later on in the movie, he's got a friend. Do you guys remember his name? Ian, I think is
Ian,
his name.
Ian, I think, yeah.
Who's kind of like trying to sort of help him and his wife and kind of try to
Now that guy's a good guy.
Bring them back to normalcy. But he even says like, oh, you know, he was just an average guy, average in every way. Yeah. And that he really is. And that's like what Brandon was saying, is that we get like 5 minutes to know him before he gets injected with that stuff.
Yeah, we needed a
so
bit
So you
more.
Can't help but question like, is this sort of aggressive behavior and this poor behavior, is that because of this serum or whatever? Or is that because that's who he is beforehand? We don't really know.
It's where I'm kind of split with this movie, too, because, like, I mean, honestly, he does become two people, kind of. Like, he becomes the Manster, and I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that, like, he starts growing another person inside of him,
it's
basically.
Pretty hot, actually.
And it's kind of cool. Like, the effects actually look pretty good for the time.
Yeah, it's 1960.
It's a little low budget, but it works. And there's, like, some neat kind of, like, monster freakout scenes, I think, of, especially the one in, like, the graveyard or whatever. Is underlit, but it's kind of cool. But like once he starts becoming a monster, he stops talking, and I think that's another huge downfall of the film. Is it like
we create that dialogue?
Yeah, he's
you
no longer
a main character. There's no one to follow. You're like, who am I supposed to be following now at this point?
And instead, you get his wife, who like I don't
incredibly
wanna...
incredibly boring.
I'm trying not to throw shade on her, but Jesus Christ,
you
she can. Like
I mean, we have our.
She's a frustrating actor. Like her character's pretty weak, but like she's also just. Like the way that she says lines is like infuriating for some reason. She's super
she has this,
breathy.
This dazed look about her. She just
she's
like,
yeah. But Larry, I love you.
She looks beleaguered at every
it's
second.
So weird.
Our other female lead, the sort of like mad scientist helper.
She's
I
tired.
Actually kind of like her.
Well, here's the thing. I really liked her at the beginning because she was like, I was so expecting her to be set up as this love interest, which. Mm-hmm.
Subtle. I like how they
but
do
in,
it.
But in the beginning, she's just flat out like, "No, I'm not about that." Like,
she says,
like,
"I have no feelings.
I have no feelings. I'm all business." And I was like, "Yes, bitch. Like, yeah, okay,
that's
I'm with
a fire.
You." And so then I was really disappointed later in the movie when it was like, "Oh, even she can be warmed by the love of the right man."
Especially
and
just
like,
especially
oh.
boring chinman.
But like a love of this manster. Like she knows him only after he's a manster. Like
know,
she's
yeah. so
she's
weird.
In love with shit heel Larry.
Strong, aggressive
yeah.
man.
Which is really strange.
One thing. So Rachel does mention that this lady kind of evolves and like she gains emotion
she
back.
She devolves. Really.
Whatever. I actually kind of liked it because she like the our scientist.
I buy her, yeah.
Our scientist. She remember she's like his partner. And our scientist is hardcore, all about the research. He doesn't care about, you know, however many lives he's wrecking. This lady's like, you know, you just killed your own brother. That was kind of savage. Wait, all these experiments are going wrong. Maybe you should stop doing this. And the guy's like,
ah. It's like, yes, but think of the science.
Maybe. He's like, maybe I agree with you, but fuck that. I got to do the science. And so I thought she was kind of like a funny, I don't know, like.
Well, there's actually like counter. A surprising amount of complexity to the human drama in this movie. And that's actually what was... kind of keeping me really interested in it for the first bit, but as soon as you get the monster coming out,
right.
him actually becoming the monster, you really lose all that drive, and it's just people running after a dude in the dark.
I will admit though that the first time I saw that monster come, I got a little turnt. I got a little horn.
He
what
doesn't.
Did you say?
I want to specify here: the monster does not come. That does not happen.
Oh, he came.
No, no,
he came. He saw. he conquered.
I mean, he has a little bit of like a little like vinegar face, kind of like, you know, a little bit of, like he's
We're not trying to downplay the pricks in this movie, but they're all pretty small.
Everybody's a dick in this, but it's still kind of. It's still kind of
I've like lost where this is going.
Lost and found. Let me just clarify for everyone: there is nudity that is not seen.
That's
in
true.
This movie, you see some shoulders.
Oh God, do you?
But there are no
sexy
penises?
Shoulders.
Didn't we see a butt? Or, no, that was
no,
later.
That's another movie.
That's a different movie.
And not the movie you'd expect.
Oh boy.
Yeah, strangely.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
But yeah. You want to wrap this one up?
Yeah, I guess we should.
Let's put it in the microwave all right, oven, guys.
Lead us into this, Rachel.
I guess I'll go ahead and say that I found some things interesting about this movie, but once again, my big problems were that it followed the same sort of tropes, which, I mean, you know, it's a movie from 1960, so, yeah. You know, whatever. It followed the same sort of tropes of women, which I hate to see in movies in that era, so I couldn't give it the credit I wanted to give it there that I thought I could. And then it really lacked having a main character or a protagonist. It's not even like you have, like, the anti-hero. It was more just like, we have a protagonist, and he's kind of a dick. Now he's really a dick. Now he's like, he just looks like a literal dick. And then it's like, and this was the moral of the story, the end. And I was like,
literally.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, all right, no thanks. I don't know. I started getting, once you know, we lost old Larry, it lost me. So for me, it has to be a little bit of a stinker.
Yeah.
Oof.
Dilly Bones, since you picked this, go next.
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty spot on with you, Rachel. It's like a strange mix where it does have all that like regressive 50s, 60s bullshit, but it's also like kind of a really competently made movie for the first part, like surprisingly so. And for a B movie, like it's actually doing some interesting things. I like that it's not kind of outwardly racist like I thought it was going to be. I have to like laud it a little bit.
Oh, I like that about it.
No, I mean, but like seriously, it's not what I was expecting there. It's a step above, I think.
Exactly,
but then it just
yeah.
kind of steps back once the monster comes in, which is really astounding to me that I was looking forward to this movie for a fucking two-headed monster. And when he actually comes onto the screen, I was like, kind of done. And so for that, like, I think it's worth watching if you want to watch like a kind of cheesy B movie, 50s, 60s vibe. I think it's actually a pretty competent one of those.
Definitely.
But at the same time, like, it is still not super enjoyable for the latter half, which drags on a bit too long. So it's a very, very light stinker. I think if you're into this sort of movie, you might still really like it. So that's me.
Bloody boy.
Yeah, this one, I'm actually pretty torn, and the more we talk about it, I'm even less certain how I feel, because, like Dylan, this movie actually surprised me. I mean, we fired up, this is clearly setting me up for a cheesy B-movie, and I am just expecting just the worst, kind of most mumbling.
It's smarter than it should
bumbling.
Be.
Mumbling, and it does a lot of things really well, and I was really engaged. For a movie that I don't give a shit about any of the subject matter, I was actually really gripped for most of it. Considering that I didn't care about any of the characters, the main character is not a dude that I connect with, and I could like see them misstepping as I'm watching it, but for some reason I just was entertained enough to continue to keep watching it. But like everybody else here, by the end of the movie, it's starting to drag, and you're starting to feel all the missteps coming together to form like this very muddy kind of end.
It's amazing that we say it drags. It's like 74 minutes. Such a short movie.
It's actually very short. But I will say, the end of this movie, it has a little bit of a bang. I kind of like it. They did some things I didn't expect, and I just wish that they could have respected their own ending enough to not explain it word by word at the very end. So this movie is not a bad movie. If you like cheesy B-movies, you know, weird sci-fi flicks from the 50s and 60s, I think you could do way worse than this.
That's
but
true.
For me personally, I don't think I would remember to recommend this one, but it's a light stinker.
And now the Manton of the Hour.
The Manster. Oh.
All right, let me give you the real review.
The real review.
Man, I want you to do that. I want him to do that for every review, though.
Let me give you the real review.
Let me tell you what's really up. So I think that it's funny to think about the fact that Dylan, I guess, when he picked this movie, he was just in like a used bookstore, book and media store, and he just happened to see this movie, right? You just saw this, and you're like, oh, that's for Man.
Yep.
And given those circumstances, it's incredible that you came out with something that is really not that bad.
Yeah.
This movie is fine. It's, if you think about all those 50s and 60s, you know, you could even say like the Universal monster movies.
Yeah.
The mad scientist creates this thing, very Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing. It's okay. It's fine. it definitely loses its luster once he becomes a monster. We lose the character drama. It's like you've got a lot of character drama building up, and it's finally coming to a head, and then he turns into the monster and grows a second head, and somehow that's we lose it at that point. So yeah, I think I agree with you guys. It's gonna have to just be a light stinker. It's one to put on when you go to bed, and you'll probably fall asleep before it gets boring.
I feel that.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's really not bad. I feel bad giving it a stinker.
Yeah,
but
I do too.
Yeah, I do too, but it's like, so middling.
It's like, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, if you're really into this sort of thing.
One thing I want to specify is that we're talking about the it goes downhill once he becomes a monster. And I want to say
they
handle the monster stuff really well.
Yeah, and
it looks cool. It looks spooky. It looks pretty good.
It's just a bummer that we dropped the plot.
Goes downhill because it was actually uphill, surprisingly.
I just want to clarify that it wasn't like a technical problem. It was just the way that they formed this movie didn't work for that.
I honestly think it's just the decision not to have the monster speak. Like, if he had spoken, I think it would have made a huge difference.
It would have been really cool as if they had the other head like saying shitty things and
telling
he's like
him to
no
do stuff.
Yeah.
I feel
we'll have to see if we can get the rights to that.
The Manster reboot. Grittier.
Manster Returns.
Manster 2.
Maybe if we get an extra $100 a month for Patreon.
Directed by Manster Dumbass.
Wow.
Have the budget.
So I'm going to skip to actually the last movie that we watched.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And
all right.
So I'm going to have Dylan explain this one here.
Okay.
What's the movie?
This movie is not, as Blutzer thought, Backwoods, which
stars
Hilary Duff.
That's what I was about to call it, so I'm glad that
who is Hilary Duff?
Hilary Duff's sister. This is
lesser Duff. You may recognize it as Lizzie McGuire.
Lizzie McGuire, of course, her seminal work as Lizzie McGuire. She is not in this movie. That is Backwoods.
What's your all's favorite Lizzie McGuire like plot line? I really like the one where she had, what was that friend that was like the bad influence on her? She had like a nose ring.
I have no fucking
and
idea.
She, like,
I've
she
never
turned,
seen Lizzie
she
McGuire.
She turned into a bad girl.
Yeah, I know.
You remember
I know
that?
What you're talking about. No, I liked when in the Lizzie McGuire movie where she
didn't see the movie.
Oh,
oh
man.
Shit.
Man,
she
yeah, I thought
that,
you had the
that
discography.
That one guy friend that she had, like, they finally, like,
yeah, Zordon.
Did they get
Zordon,
it on?
Right?
I don't know.
No, Gordo.
Like,
Gordo.
Oh, you know, Zordon, her friend.
Man, just made
but then
that shit
I think,
up.
I think in the end, they
okay,
were, like,
so
we're just
her
friends.
And Gordo, they finally, what?
Yeah, I mean, they like, they realize that there's something there for each other. But they realize they should, I don't remember.
Don't you feel like, though, between her and Zordon, Alpha's the third wheel?
I'm like a beta, am I right?
I'm just gonna let me just say this is another aside here, but I was scrolling through Facebook and there was apparently now there's been 100 original Disney Channel movies, and so
Jesus, that's amazing.
Good God.
Yeah. And so Disney had put up, you know, like a little GIF or a little video, whatever. And it was from Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century or whatever it is. And it was it was the song Supernova Girl.
No gravity between us.
Yes.
Our love is automatic.
Yeah.
Zom, zom, zom.
I have no fucking
yes,
idea
thank
what
you.
You're
wow.
talking about right now.
There's wow. like there's like one person listening that's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Xenon, that's my shit.
Everyone should know Xenon.
Dude, right. That's the thing. Like, I remember these movies, but very, very vaguely.
I mean, I saw Brink, but
oh,
I never saw any of them.
Yes,
Brink is the shit.
Team Pup and Suds, hashtag Team Pup and Suds for life.
Anyway, we did not watch Xenon Girl of the 20 whatever
can
century.
We just have the Disney
just,
Channel
yeah, why don't we just do Brink?
We did not watch Brink.
What's that one? Dude, Super House or whatever? Fucking.
Oh, no. Smart House.
Smart House, yeah. He's up. A smart house. That's how it goes,
you
right?
Remember Alley Cats? No, they don't hate up when the Alley Cats strike.
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
Of course. Who could
right
forget Alley Cats?
Yeah. Set them up just the way we
like. Is that
like.
A movie about bowling? Is that a Disney movie?
Yeah, it's
Jesus
about bowling.
They just covered every base. Anyhow,
okay.
This movie is not starring Hilary Duff nor Hilary Duff. This is not Backwoods, as Blutzer originally thought. This is a movie.
No wonder you guys couldn't find the movie.
Yeah, we struggled for
it.
It's called Backcountry.
Oh.
Yeah. But, it's set in some backwoods in the backcountry, so
yeah,
I can see how you would get that a little twisted. But no, this is a movie about a couple. Alex and Jen, is that right?
Whatever.
Jen is the one who matters, really. Who go into the woods, and Alex is kind of a shitty mansplaining boyfriend who really wants to show her how good he can survive because he's a big dick alpha daddy. So they're going to this place that he's visited before, but he, of course, surprise, surprise, starts to get them a little bit off the track. And they meet a guy who's Irish and vaguely racist and kind of surprises them in the woods. But that's not maybe the enemy that they end up running against. They start trying to survive for their life after they realize they have no map and no way out. And they've got a big spooky animal after them.
They do.
I really like how this comes to a head.
What was that?
What are you talking about? I'm just trying to.
You said you don't comes do this to me. To a head no. And you gave
don't
us
gaslight
look.
Me here. What the fuck are you saying?
I'm just saying the plot line
comes to a head. No, say it.
Explain yourself.
Comes to a head.
What about it? Explain this to me.
What of it? Do you want me to mansplain it or should I just?
I would like you to mansplain it.
It's the penis head, and then the semen comes out.
Tell us what's really up, Rachel.
Yeah, for real.
Tell
us
no. What's really up.
No, so. This movie...
I did really have a good point, though.
I'm sure you did, but you know what? You kind of shot yourself in the foot.
Give us your point.
I was just going to say that...
Yeah, give us your point, Daddy.
Oh, my... I don't have one. It's so small, but... I really do love when the shit really kind of hits the fan. It's a subtle little moment. This guy, the whole time that they're going on this trail, he's like, yeah, baby, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm a big swinging dick. And then they go over this little hill. He's like, oh, it's going to be right here. They go over this hill and it's nothing like he described.
Great. It's a really well done.
And then the look over their face is like, oh no. They're just like, oh shit.
Now I wanna take it back a little bit to very beginning of this movie, where we get a little bit of a nod to one of our other favorite horror movies.
Absolutely.
As they're driving in their car, they are listening to "Looking for the Magic."
I think it's with Dwight Tilley Band. I think it's the first noise we hear in the movie. Like its first sound,
I think
right?
It might be. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, which is the if you're unfamiliar with Uranex, is one of the main themes.
It's the
in
theme
it.
Song.
I've been looking for the magic.
I like how you did that.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Nice reverb.
Yeah, that was a nice effect, really Mantron. Really putting those...
Getting our money's worth.
Wow, those patrons are really getting those donations.
Well,
I had this before that.
But yeah, but not just that. The entire soundtrack is really striking. Yeah. We compared it to music by Tycho, if you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's very fitting. The cinematography is really nice.
It's a beautiful movie.
It's mm-hmm. really, really great. And I was like... I literally turned to Brandon and I said, thank you.
Well,
as we're going
to
see, it's because of our next movie.
The next movie will explain
this. We
watched
beforehand, yeah.
Which is all thanks to Devin, that son of a bitch.
God damn it. But not just because of this. But, I mean, there are so many terrible movies that... I mean, I don't have to watch them, but I sit there and watch them with my friends.
I don't know why
friends.
These ladies sit... Like,
I really don't.
Every single week, Kel's is sitting next to me and we watch these movies and I look over to her and I'm like... Kells,
how the fuck
don't need to watch
we have a lot of friends like we had a couple friends, we had three friends come over tonight and they watched they watched one of the shitty ass ones with us and we were like why?
I think Dexter was just stuck because he was having to brew that beer.
I can't imagine that like most of our listeners are actually listening to all the movies or watching all the movies that
I don't think so.
We're doing each week, but like a lot of our girlfriends, our friends, like they watch this shit. Why?
I don't know why.
But nevertheless, this is maybe one of those ones that you might want to watch.
So that's why I literally turned to Brandon. I said, thank you. I was so
it felt
a
happy.
Breath of fresh air.
It felt really right. Like the movie, as soon as they get out of the car, they're in like, they immediately go to the woods and it's just like, it just feels right.
Just gorgeous woods. Like a lot of movies, like lesser movies, could have gotten away with looking better because this place that they're shooting is gorgeous.
Sure.
But like they're also shooting it really well. The camera work in this movie is really solid. Despite like it falls into some shaky cam in times, but the times that it does it are pretty necessary.
I think it's appropriate. But yeah. It makes me think of Trollhunter. Trollhunter is a movie that could have been done anywhere else and it would have been a lesser movie because of it. But if you just shoot in gorgeous environments, I mean, it can't hurt
it's like
you.
Some Canadian woods, but it just looks beautiful.
Yeah, well, to be fair, though, I think like Trollhunter is shot in absolutely gorgeous, like exceptionally gorgeous locations. Yes. I think this is a pretty average forest, but it's done really, really well.
It's handled well.
Something that I kind of liked about this is it kind of takes the concept of open water. It's this concept two people that have a very like intense, complex relationship, and they're put into a situation that is a very difficult one to deal with, and we kind of just watch how do these people deal with this situation?
Well, I think several times I was just saying like, oh, fuck, they're going to break up. Or, but like, I was actually kind of...
you care. You
kind of do care about them. Like, as much as like Alex, I guess I think his name is, like the boyfriend, yeah. as much as he's kind of a shitty guy, like he's kind of a shitty character.
He's trying.
Like, I still can kind of identify with him. And Jen is like, I mean, she's a really well put together character. Like she operates like anybody I think would in this situation.
Mm-hmm. No, I exactly wanted to talk about her because I love how they handle her like evolution kind of. When they're first walking into the forest, they show like tons of close-ups of her face, and it's just her kind of like really uneasy looking around. She's clearly very scared.
It's her first
camping
trip.
And as the movie progresses, she gets a little more comfortable. She's kind of like, you can literally see in her face she's at ease. And then eventually that, you know, that's going to turn
at
later
ease
on.
Goes, yeah.
But I just like how it was very subtle. It wasn't very overt.
So
it's just kind of just showing you her face.
One of the things that I think that to pitch this movie well, I think we do kind of have to let you know who the boogeyman is in this movie. Do we?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so, because that's what I was about to say is what's nice about this movie is that they give you, I don't want to call them bait and switches, but there's a lot of little moments where you're like, whoa, this is something eerie. Yep. Is this thing?
Definitely.
And I'll do the first one that did for me, and I won't do the rest of them. But the first one is where they're in this canoe and they're paddling, and they see another couple paddling back in the canoe that like it almost looks exactly
yeah,
like
really
them,
weird.
And you're like, is that them? Is this like some weird like time distortion?
It's gonna be like triangle.
We were having like weird theories about it already.
Yeah. So it like immediately it does that, and there's a couple of other moments like that, and it doesn't feel like it's like, oh, just kidding. And it doesn't feel like that. It feels like it's really keeping you invested and keeping you on your toes, sort of how they are there in the woods.
Yeah, they're going to be in some sort of danger. You know that. And they know that, honestly. And you just don't know where it's going to come from and when the shoe's going to drop.
I think a lot of times when you have movies that are set in a natural setting or something like that, where there's like a big setup or things like that, you're just sort of like sitting there like, all right, when's going to happen? What's going to happen?
But I will say the boogeyman that they use in this is something that I normally wouldn't be all that scared of. But given the context, like, it's fucking terrifying and really realistic. Like, this movie feels very grounded and really fucking painful when the shit hits the fan.
I don't know. One thing I appreciated is that we had a couple of our friends here, Steven and Caitlin, and they actually do go camping and they go on hikes and stuff like that. So
I never want to go camping again.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're wilderness people. Like, to me, I think they're pretty out there. And so they were watching this, and every time they like Rachel was saying, they'd meet a new group of people. It's very uneasy. You don't know these people. You don't trust them. You hear these weird sounds. You don't know what it is.
And you're in the middle of goddamn nowhere.
The whole time they were here, they were just like, oh no, I just don't like this at all. They were super uneasy, and that made me terrified. I'm like, I'm just a city boy.
I mean, it does a similar thing for camping. I think that like something a movie like Willow Creek does.
I was going to bring that movie up. Do you guys remember Willow Creek?
Yeah.
Is that the Sasquatch movie? Sasquatch,
yes, it is. It's the one in particular.
It's the one that is one scene, not really a movie.
It's the Blair Witch, and then it has like, in my opinion, one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And I was thinking like, man, imagine that scene, cut that out, put it into this movie.
Yeah.
You've got a perfect movie right there.
You might, yeah. And I mean, this doesn't need a Sam Squanch to make it scary.
No.
Like, it is incredibly grounded to a degree that, you know, a movie like, I think Open Water, like, it was an apt comparison, and it does feel super grounded. But this one, honestly, more so because,
this is definitely better.
It is better. And you just get, like, the visceral reaction to the things that are happening to them.
Yes.
And, like, the scenes, like, there's scenes in the tent that are just fucking nerve-wracking, where you know what's gonna happen, you know kind of how it's gonna end, but it's just oof.
It's because they keep the tension really, really tight. Like Open Waters for me, I liked it, and it was really scary, but relatively, I guess. But there's a lot of times where they're just kind of floating around,
right.
Like there's nothing really
aimless.
It is really literally aimless. You can't tell where you're looking.
This has good pacing because especially like I'm imagining Rachel watching it, because I kind of knew what this movie was about, and you said you didn't know anything about it, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so like we have like you guys said, we have the Irish guy towards the beginning. He kind of shows up at their camp, and
he's pretty off-putting.
He's talking to Jen, and you know, you get sort of a weird vibe from him, and they're kind of interacting with him. He turns out to be kind of a dick, maybe, we don't really know.
I think he's
but
a
total
dick.
It's kind of nice because you don't know, like, oh, is this guy gonna like hunt them down and kill them?
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a lot of like sort of false like red herrings that show up and sort of get you wondering what's gonna be scary, because it feels tense. Like, you feel that. Even if you went into this movie knowing nothing about it, not even knowing that there's like scares or this is horror or whatever, you would still feel very unnerved entire time.
A movie like this, where the tension is kind of the name of the game for most of the movie, is really made or broken by the moment where the tension breaks. Like,
you mean like in High Tension when the twist like is revealed in High Tension, and then we all just...
Fuck that movie. But no, I'm thinking more along the lines of like something that's done it very well, like The Invitation. But like this movie also does the tension break really well, because when it happens, it's just fucking brutal.
Well, it doesn't stop.
And it is nonstop and deservedly nonstop from the moment that it happens. So going into this, you're going to feel this is a slow-paced movie for a very long time. But it will pay off. Like, there is some good payoff here.
And there's plenty of things to keep you invested, sure. Like I was saying earlier. And one thing I thought was really nice is when that big break sort of happens, even after, you know, that sort of climax moment, the tension isn't over. And mm-hmm. it's not like, okay, well, now we're just wrapping things up, you know? It's like, there's still more. There's more tension. There's more other things that are coming out there, and it's still there's still these things that are grabbing you, making you feel tense. Yeah, and it's and I think it's and in the end, it ends up not being as much about, you know, like this thing you've been waiting this whole time. Like, right. What is going to be mm-hmm. this thing that is the what's climax the of this?
There isn't, you know? Really, honestly.
And, yeah, and that's not what the movie is about in mm-hmm. the end, and I think it's just it's very very smart.
It's because we yeah.
Do we have any like criticisms for this movie?
I don't know. I think the small scale aspect of it can be, I think, kind of off putting to some folks. Like, I can see somebody going into this and just wanting a little bit more, wanting a little bit outward horror.
Sure.
But like at the same time, I think that the really slow pace of the beginning is justified. Like it makes the tension break even more effective.
Our payoff is worth it.
Yeah.
One thing, I guess the only thing that really I wanted more, that was the problem, is that like I was really enjoying what I was getting. I felt like I wanted more interaction with the couple and more interaction with these other people they were meeting.
For sure.
And the whole time they're going down this trail, like, I haven't seen this movie, but I already know what's going to happen. I just wanted a little more, maybe a little more distraction, a little more diversion.
I feel the nearest thing I can actually compare this to, I think, is actually The Shallows. In that, yeah. Like, the way that The Shallows ends is fucking balls to the wall bonkers. Like, mm-hmm. and it's really cool. Like, yes. It feels really good, and you get this, like, amazing endorphin rush at the end of it. This one a little less so. Like, it is pretty subdued in the way that it ends. Yeah. But the whimper makes sense. Like, movie is really grounded, whereas The Shallows kind of isn't in some cases.
I just think this movie succeeded so much in the parts that I liked that I just wanted more, like... I think this movie could have done another even 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I would have
and
been
we have
invested.
More tension build up with the couple. But I'm
pretty happy with it. Yeah. So why don't we go into our reviews? Why don't we start with Manson? Why don't you go first, buddy?
Sure, I'd love to. I was pretty excited to watch this. I can tell why Brandon chose this. I think I've mentioned a few times
that
we
said, I want to watch this movie.
We should watch this for the cast. And I'm glad we did. This is very similar to something like Willow Creek, Open Water. What was the other one you mentioned?
Shallows.
The Shallows, yeah. I thought of The Shallows a few times while watching this, for sure. Yeah, it's good. I think that, you know, it kind of is... you've sort of seen this before, and it's kind of been done. But this is done really, really well.
For
and
sure.
And it's done in a way that is... a lot more grounded than your average sort of like nature thriller. It's definitely worth watching. I would recommend this to pretty much everyone out there that is into horror or not into horror. So it's going to be a gem for me.
All right, Dylan, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one too. And it's buoyed a lot by the performances, which I think are really solid in this, mm-hmm. And really believable. And that's the best thing about this movie, is that it is really believable. It feels very grounded. And so it makes the extremes of the horror that happen feel like they could happen to you. And in that situation, I was thinking, oh God, I don't know what I would do.
And
that's where a movie about survival tends to work the best. I think this is a really good one of those. I mentioned really, really liking The Shallows. I think this movie is a great little kind of sister movie to it. If you enjoyed The Shallows, you're going to love this. And I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it to a lot of people. It's a gem.
I'm going to go off of that a little bit and say that, you know, normally I don't like movies that, like, I can't handle, like, natural disasters or, like, post-apocalyptic stuff.
So Independence Day.
Yeah. Or, like, things that are, like, you know, sort of like a grounded horror movies.
Sure,
I love horror movies because...
You need something supernatural.
I love horror movies because I don't have to... It's like, I don't want to feel good. I don't want to feel bad. I just don't want to feel anything. I just want to watch this horror movie and be entertained by the plot, right?
Exactly.
That's why I love horror movies. So like normally this is something I would not like because it's like, oh, this is grounded. This is a thing that feels like can happen to actual people. So there was like plenty of times where I was like literally like up against Manton, like, I just can't watch this right now. I can't watch this. Like, it was so tense. And it was really good. So I don't really have anything bad to say about it. It's not like, wow, this is the film of the century, but right, I mean, sure. It does what it sets out to do.
I think it punches above its weight.
Yeah, I think it does a really good job. It's a good movie. It's a gem. Blue.
That was beautiful. There's one thing that I want to highlight that Man brought up that I totally agreed with, is that this has been done before, but that's perfectly fine. This movie does it so well. I feel like I have a lot of discussions about horror movies with my coworkers, and a lot of times people will go to the theater, they'll see something like, oh, you don't need to worry about that. You know, it's been done 100 times. You shouldn't go see it. I'm like, that's not the case, because I love when people come back and do really, really, really simple storylines like this that have been done 100 times, and they just do it better. Like, we still haven't perfected making this type of movie yet. And I'm not saying this movie has stolen all of its ideas or anything. It's just you felt this kind of story before, but they do it so well. And when things start to really hit the fan, I actually felt like almost physical pain.
Oh, it hurts
because of some of the things that were happening, and it just felt so gripping. I don't know. And I was really impressed with this movie. I picked it because Manton wanted to watch it, so that was my little shout out. But I'm really, really glad that this movie did not disappoint, especially after this next one. So
yeah, and speaking of this next one, I saved this one just for our darling boy, birthday boy. Mantron, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's this next one?
This is fucked up of you guys to do this to me. Wow.
Happy birthday, bitch.
So up next we have Microwave Massacre. This was...
Thanks, Devin.
Yeah, this was chosen by Devin, although he couldn't be here. He's here in a shitty, stinky spirit.
We should point out, he dropped this one on, like, it was like a drive-by. He just threw this.
Here's your one. He gave it to me in blister.
He was like, guys, I won't be on this cast, so here's Manton's gift.
And at first I was like, oh, good job, Devin. Like, this seems like a really funny one to give him. We'll see.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do with this is I'm going to try and explain the plot, because it's very, 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 there's very little to say. And then we can kind of talk about the movie as a whole. It's a stinky little brown hole. The Microwave Massacre is technically a movie that is about a man.
It is technically a movie.
It's about a man, and he's an old, gross man.
God, he's so fucking gross.
He's a construction worker with everything that comes with that, like he's eating giant sandwiches of a big plastic crab.
My first note for this movie is, what the fuck is this sandwich?
After the intro, we need to talk about
All right, that. I said I would say the plot. This isn't part of the plot.
Go ahead.
It might as well be, though. So this guy lives a shitty life. He's, kind of an alcoholic, I guess. He goes home to his wife. They don't get along very well. She's not having it. You know, he's not into it. Eventually, he's kind of fantasizing about murdering her, and then he does. He kills her. And
why does he kill her, man?
Because they're annoyed, they're mad at each other.
Doesn't make him a sandwich.
She makes him foods that are crazy and kooky, and he doesn't like them.
She makes him, like, for example,
she's a gourmand.
Literally, he kills her because she won't make him a bologna and cheese sandwich.
He's like, I don't want, like, this giant sandwich with a plastic crab in it, which is, that's pretty reasonable request. He's like, I just want a regular bologna sandwich. He's like, the dog eats better than me, and then the next day he goes to work literally
eats
with
actual
eating
dog food.
Anyways, so he murders her. He then puts her in the freezer, cuts her into bits, but he's got this microwaves all over the house, and he sees her in the microwave for some reason.
I don't know if that happened or not. He realizes that he
loves killing, so he's going around and
Let me correct you there. He doesn't realize that he loves killing. He realizes that the only way he can get off anymore is by eating women.
Kind of. It's weird because, like, that's said later on, but in the early parts of the movie, he just kills his wife. It's not because he's horny.
Well, there's like a TV broadcast that's like, the only way you get away with this is if you were to
you could eat the victim.
True. That's true.
I hate to interrupt you guys, but I just learned an interesting tidbit about our main character, Jackie Vernon, the actor.
Yeah.
He was Frosty the Snowman in Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, that's, of course he was. You are upsetting.
Shitting.
I'm never going to watch that movie again.
All right.
Anyways,
I said this would be short. I'm going to try. So he starts, for some reason, every woman in this town wants to fuck him. I guess they're either all prostitutes or they all just, he's irresistible.
Who fucking
and then
knows?
He's murdering them and eating them and kind of bringing them to his construction buddies cooked up.
You can't get enough of that meat.
And he can't. And, Jack meat. Yeah. A good ref. And then that's it. I mean, I guess that's the entire movie. Yeah, really, that's it.
Manton is not, he's not downplaying this. Like, one of the central points of this movie is that he beats his friends at work and they share, like, lunch.
Yeah.
And they don't, we never actually see them do any construction work.
I'm they sorry, also watch people have sex okay, in the construction yeah,
can
yard.
Can I interrupt with the first part of this movie?
Oh, God.
We are introduced to this movie with a title bump that is over two bumps. It is some woman walking down the street with her boobs hanging out and basically, and she walks over to the construction site and for some reason puts her boobs through the...
No, Dylan. We need to be clear here.
This guy's having sex with her.
Don't know.
I don't know. Looking, it's cut so weird.
She's looking through she's a like hole moaning. In the fence.
She's trying to spy on some sexy-ass construction workers who are all just repulsive.
They are. Yeah, why is she trying to
I
check
don't
them
know.
Out? I don't understand.
And she opens up her blouse and she... Puts conveniently, there is a breast-shaped hole
yep, just
in
crams
the wall
them through, glory hole
and,
style.
And crams them through.
Do you guys not remember the dude, like, some random
somebody pinches
pervert
her ass,
grabs
but I don't
her
know,
ass.
I don't know what happens after that
and
because
then
they
it's
cut
implied,
it so weird.
And then it's implied that
they're
having
sex.
They're
having sex, but she has her pants on, and there's no guy there. Like, it doesn't... Why am I getting worked up about this? There's so much more to get worked up about.
This is... It's actually a perfect scene because it sets up your mind to not understand anything that's happening. In the very next scene, our main character, who isn't established as a main character, is just... God damn it, Dylan.
I'm sorry, go ahead. But
he's just wailing around this giant plastic sandwich with a giant entire whole crab,
a plastic crab
with plastic bun, and he's waving it around. He's like, I hate my lunch.
The bun's the size of a hubcap.
Like, we're not joking. You could just put it on a slap
it
in a car.
It is a comical cartoon sandwich.
And he's literally acting like it's his actual sandwich, and he's like irate about it. He's like, guys, I can't get a decent sandwich around here.
And it's not like it's just like he says this once. It's over and over. Did you catch the thing about the sandwich yet, guys?
I literally couldn't tell if it was supposed to be
they
real
keep
or not.
Just beating that
this
joke's
movie,
dick into the dirt.
This movie has a lot of moments like, hey, did you see that joke
they
we did?
They literally have moments about that, but I don't even want to get to that first. So this moment where we've got these three construction workers there, I was like, okay, if it's this guy or this guy as our main character, we might have an entertaining movie here. And then they go to the third guy, the one who has that crab sandwich, and they could not have picked a more repulsive, horrible, stupid fucking protagonist for this movie.
He can barely utter
his lines.
He can
barely enunciate.
Well, he's the villain and the protagonist.
He's drunk as
fuck. One of those.
The actor has got to be drunk as
he's
fuck.
A definition
well,
of
he looks like he was crying in every
there's
scene.
There's plenty of scenes where he's supposed to be drunk, and it's the worst drunk acting I've ever seen
I
in my entire
think
life.
I think he just has brain damage.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he was saying things in this movie that made me feel as if I was getting a stroke and then made me wonder if he was having a stroke at the same time.
I think it was a mutual stroke.
But
you were stroking each other off.
Manton mentions, like, as far as, like, beating those jokes into the ground, like, one of the ways they do it is that they just break the fourth wall a couple of times in this movie. Where he'll just stare at the camera and he'll be like, did you catch that? Like, it's infuriating.
One thing that's also very apt for this is that in the past, Manton, we're watching a movie and... This movie has a shit ton of gratuitous nudity.
Tons.
Nudity.
Which
and
is why
typical,
immediately when we did it, I was like,
typical
Devin.
Yeah, typical Devin fashion. And Manton just always, he just posits. He's like, why don't they just make a fucking porno?
Legit.
Like, if they're not going to even try to make a movie.
This one definitely was not as bad as I thought.
It actually started out.
It starts out that way. I must discuss. Okay.
There is one scene. Inexplicably.
No setup
whatsoever. Oh, it God. Is a nude woman's torso and body. It's like, I mean, it's a full body, but you don't see her head.
But you have no context. You don't know who
no
she
context.
Is.
No context. It's just
she's
her.
An object, of course.
She's just laying on a table, being spread with some sort of
slather.
It's mayonnaise, but it just looks like icing or like lard or something.
Yeah.
And then a large, comically like. Bread the size of a mattress. It doesn't even look like bread until you end up realizing it's bread. And you're like, so this is okay. And so then it just cuts to him walking down the street,
right.
And he looks up at a billboard for mayonnaise. And
that,
I'm
that's
like,
start we, and we, end of scene.
That's it. And that's the scene. They never come back to that.
We thought it was supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be like, it's sort of like a dream sequence because they do it a couple of times. Like they have a one where he's making a shish kebab.
This is legitimately the only good scene in the movie, I should say.
Yeah. The shish kebab scene.
He makes a shish kebab and then puts like a hand on it. And it's actually kind of funny.
There's a couple like funny goofs here and there.
The comic timing on that one's all right. But like, this movie, like Manton was saying, like I'd much rather watch a movie like Things where, and I mean, why? Like,
well, okay, so yeah, here's my thing about this movie versus something like Things, because I'm a connoisseur of trash. Like, I love bad movies, but
which for that sense, like, good job, good on you, Devin, for giving him this.
Yeah,
like, it's trash.
There is that, and I will say, like, this movie is not as awful as I expected it to
Oddly,
be.
Oddly, yes, I have to agree.
I was expecting some real bottom of the barrel stuff, but the problem that I have with this movie ultimately is this: when you watch a movie that's for that sort of so bad it's good, like, oh my god, I can't believe how bad this movie is. You can't really watch the comedies. Like, this is like a horror comedy. This is like a dark comedy. This movie's trying to be funny at every turn. The problem with that is that, like, you lose some of that genuineness. Like, when you watch something like Things, you're like, holy shit, I'm taking a peek into someone's mind that thinks they're an artist and they're putting together something and they're really giving it their all, but it's just failing miserably.
Well, that's the thing. I was laughing uproariously through this whole movie.
This dude was laughing his ass off from minute
losing
one.
Losing it through the whole fucking thing. Crying, laughing. But no part of it was because of the intended humor in this.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, it's a really weird contrast because this movie is trying to be funny and we're laughing not because of anything they're doing succeeds.
It's the
same kind of laughing at it, not with it that I had in, like, Student Bodies. Which is just fucking terrible.
I didn't laugh.
You didn't even crack a smile.
Student Bodies is worse, though. Far, 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 far
worse.
Yes, I would agree.
So, but, like, this one has just this absurdity to it that is, like, still marginally entertaining.
It is.
I mean, things like that woman dressed as Big Bird that he picks up. What the fuck is that scene?
No,
I'm going to just call it like it is. It's ballsy. This movie has scenes that just don't mean anything, have no relevance, have no weight, and they just show them, and they're just like, all right, next scene. Like, There's almost like a certain just confidence.
Well, it's
into
the point
shit
where like
they're putting
confidently,
onto the screen.
Offhandedly crazy racist for one scene, and then just never bring it up again.
My brain is hurting.
Like they bring in a guy who's just dressed as like an African tribesman and is eating like a hand. He's not a character.
On the door, it's just like I can't.
Buana meets.
Yeah,
like
Buana meets, and he's just like,
let us cater your next pagan ritual. Yeah.
That's it. That's the scene.
And that's it.
That's it. And then you're just like,
what?
And then there's
like,
one,
well,
there's
that's
one
fucking
where
dumb.
All
right,
he's talking about like going to get some Chinese food. He's like, I'm gonna go Chinatown and get some Peking chick. And they're like, don't you mean Peking duck? And he's like, chick, because it's
he
like,
says it. He says it at least three times.
At least three times
to make sure you get it.
And then it cuts to like a very stereotypical like. You know, like
chopsticks in the hair, like
geisha wig, and I'm like, cool, good job, guys. This movie, like, is not the most offensive movie that
we have watched for this cast.
That's what's sad. That's what's sad is that we have to clarify that.
But I was. This is one of the ultimate like women as object movies. Like it literally.
Oh, it's disgusting.
It's like, you know, it's like so many times it's like, oh, women are just treated like, you know, pieces of meat in this. They literally are meat in this movie. None of these women have any characters, any motivations. They're just like, hey, really gross, sleazy guy, I want to have sex with you. And that's it. And then they're eaten.
So why not make a porn?
Right.
That's, like, you want to know the most shocking thing?
This is what I was saying earlier. This is what I was saying. Like I said, they gave me so much shit.
The plot is as strong as, like, it's less strong than most porns.
Right.
Like, it's, what the fuck?
The most shocking thing to me is that they actually convinced or somehow paid enough women to get naked in this movie.
For this guy.
We're talking dozens
for
of
this
women.
Incredibly repulsive, like, I'd say maybe Danny DeVito is more repulsive, and I can't think of anybody else. Like, this
at least
guy
he's
is
talented,
just,
I guess.
Yeah, Danny
exactly.
DeVito is not more
but
repulsive.
But I'd fuck Danny DeVito
guy.
Before I'd fuck
oh,
this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't even get naked near this guy.
He's
not for any
top
amount of money.
Of these naked girls, like,
just grunting,
grunting
and sweating.
Grunting and making these faces. Oh, God. And
how are they not actually vomiting? I felt
so
sick
gross.
Watching. I felt sick for these poor like people in this movie.
But at the same time, like, it's kind of not offensive because like Manton said it the best. He was like, getting offended just isn't worth it with this movie. And it absolutely isn't because like this movie's not trying. So like I'm not going to give it like
it's so lazy. Yeah,
come on. Like just come on. It's so lazy that like one of
it's not like Thanksgiving where I ended up being like
you're just like fuck you stop it. But like there's like a moment in this one where like one of the big punchlines that they're trying to drop, a scene that they set up just for a punchline, has his neighbor who never gets a name, is only a woman who pulls like random men in to fuck in her like room. And he never interacts with her, basically. Like, she is digging in her garden with a fucking vibrator.
Oh, boy.
So you expect, like, okay, this has to have, like, a punchline to it, because, like, this they're not setting up why she's doing this. The punchline is, now that's a weird lady. That's it.
That's it.
They said that at the whole movie, too.
She's digging in a garden with a dildo, and they just come up with,
I mean,
now that's a weird lady.
It is a little weird. It is a little odd. That's not the intended purpose.
God.
Of a sex toy.
I just want to say, though, as weird and shitty and bizarre and offensive and trashy as this movie is, I watched all of it. I don't know. I can't say that about all these movies we've watched.
We thought about turning this one off.
Absolutely.
Manton wanted to turn off in the first minute.
Yeah. I would say like the first 15 minutes were just like bargaining to try to turn this movie off and watch something else.
Pretty much.
But we had, and I think one thing that saved this movie was we had like we were streaming it from some website and the like buffering bar at the bottom wouldn't go away. So we could see how much we had left. So by the time that we were all like, all right, let's turn this off, we were about halfway through. And at that point, we're like, all right, fine. Let's just keep it going.
We were invested.
And to be perfectly honest, like, we could have done worse.
Oh,
like,
we could have done worse. We have watched worse. There is no doubt about that.
Like, so this is bad, but it's just not.
Let's just review this piece of shit.
Let's see. Who wants to go first? Dylan, you want to start us out on this?
I'm just going to keep it short and sweet, and I'm going to cop off my boy Steven, who is watching this with us. His last words for this movie was, needs more porn and more sandwiches. And frankly, I mean, that's it. Like, this movie's not good. It's not even close to good. It's not in the same fucking wheelhouse as good, but it's not as bad as it could have been. I cannot recommend it, though. It's a fucking terrible stinker. Woof.
All right, Manton, what have you got to say about this?
There's really not a ton to say. The thing about this movie is that when it started, I was expecting maybe something Trauma-like, where I was just gonna be like, God. Oh, this is just like too much. And it's not really, it's just like, it's everything about this movie is so fucking lazy. For one thing, there's not a goddamn microwave kill in this movie.
There isn't.
There's no reason this is called Microwave Massacre, other than the fact that there's microwaves in that house.
Well,
right?
It does tie into the end.
Does it?
Oh, expertly. Oh, of course.
It does, yeah.
It all comes around.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? All right, in that case, it's a gem. Holy shit,
God,
guys.
No.
No, I don't know. Like they said, like, I think I had this thought while watching Destined to be Ingested, where I'm just like, if you want to have this much nudity in the movie, which it ends up not having that much.
The movie
but
had, like, no nudity.
Yeah, well, my point is, like, I get this thought sometimes when watching movies like this, where, like, people will kind of defend the movie and say, well, I just watch it for like the nudity and whatever. I'm like,
watch
then just watch porn. And or like, I watch it for the kills. Well, that's fine. This movie doesn't have any kills.
Like, you should feel more ashamed for watching this than you should a porn. Like,
absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. So on that, because of all of that, like, what purpose does this movie serve? Basically none. This movie's definitely not a gem. It's not so bad. It's good, sadly, because, again, it's just like, It's trying to make you laugh. It's trying to be funny, but it's falling flat on its face. And it's not, to me, it wasn't. And if I couldn't get anything out of this, I just really couldn't. So it's definitely a stinker. I was hoping for things, and I got something much closer to Student Bodies. That's a bummer. But this movie's a stinker.
You got something.
I will say, it's not like if you ever, I don't know how this would ever happen, but if you're ever like us and you're stuck in a situation that you have to watch this, don't worry, you're not gonna get like a utter bottom of the barrel disgusting thing.
It's
like
not gonna ruin you.
Style, but you're just gonna be bored mostly. Who gives a fuck?
Bluester?
I mean, I just want to, off the bat, I want to say this is a definite stinker, and I want to say that I think because of some of the things we've watched on this cast that I'm conditioned to I feel like I was ready to watch this. Mm-hmm. My body's prepared. I've seen worse. I've been more offended and more disgusted, and so by comparison, this movie didn't It didn't ruin me as bad as it did. But the entire time you're watching it, you feel a little ill because your main character looks sickly and he looks unhealthy.
God.
And you feel horrible for all the people in this movie. Everyone involved is being exploited in some way, and you're just like, you feel guilty just letting the frames roll by, and we're watching the little bar progress. I'm like, every second I'm watching this, I'm contributing to some sick fucker. And so I feel filthy after. I feel like I need a shower after watching this one. But I mean, to be honest, we've watched worse, and I was relatively committed to it by halfway through. I mean, I don't, in no good conscience could I ever recommend this, but we've watched way worse than this.
It just gets you through that like Stockholm syndrome thing where you're like, well, I'm halfway through. So
the best part about this movie is that it ended and I watched a much better movie after. So it's a stinker.
There you go.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try and highlight the merits of this movie.
Thank you. Good luck.
The dog does not die.
That's true.
Every positive thing we can say about this is that we expected something terrible and got something not quite as terrible.
The dog does not die.
Several cute dogs.
And there's not like any like weird gross boobs. All the boobs you see are really nice.
There are nice.
Which is a surprise for this movie.
Yeah, for like all the like shitty low budget horror movies or whatever that Devin picks for them to watch that have
Shots
breasts
fucking
in them.
Fired.
For all of Devin's breast picks, this is
one of the breasts.
One of the perkiest for sure.
You did say when those boobs came through that wall, you were like, hey, not bad,
nice knockies.
This is you know. The cream of the crop of as far as boobs go, the top of the tits. That's
once again these people all could have done better and made more money making a porn.
As porn stars, like please.
I mean, so there's that. Other than that, it's terrible and I hate it and I hate you, Devin.
There we go.
And just I. Stinker.
Legit. Yeah. When Devin comes back, I'm gonna fucking hold him down and make him watch this.
Guys,
movie.
We've already decided that for Devin's birthday episode, we're gonna just give him this
three times.
Well, guys, that's what I'm wondering. Like, did Devin actually think this was gonna be good?
I don't know that.
Well,
I don't know that he
did. He think there was value?
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt.
I will too. I think that he, you know, he knows the kind of shit that I like.
Right.
He saw the title Microwave Massacre. He was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be stupid.
He could have easily been right. I mean, it could have been a chud or a street trash or something like that. Like
that's the thing that really bums me out is that there wasn't any like grotesque violence with like microwaves.
It's just lazy.
What was that? I expected people to go like in the microwave and explode.
There's no fucking microwave. Like they don't use it.
There's really just ovens, isn't there?
They don't even use the ovens.
No. He sees his wife in there like alive. In like a vision or something.
That's the biggest cop out of this movie. They didn't even use their own title to slaughter anything.
There's
like
a lot of things in this movie that just go unresolved.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, they're just like someone had an idea and then they just forgot about it.
Yeah, all these incredible, you know, plot threads that they should have tied together.
incredible.
Very solid plot. Yeah.
Incredible.
Take us out of this.
Yeah,
goddamn
anyway, so
shithole.
I think we all agree that one's trash. You know, let's, you know, since we watched such a terrible, terrible, terrible movie, why not punish ourselves a little bit more and try this beer that I have in front of me right now?
Hello.
I want to see if that's maybe a little more palatable to us.
Punish
I'm going to pour
me, please,
some real
I've been
quick.
Bad.
Oh. Well, what's the big deal about this beer? Like, why should we try
it? So this beer I purchased the other day. It is made by Stone, and it is called Crime, and it is part of a duo of beers.
It sounds
Crime.
Like we're sponsored by them.
And
I wish
punishment.
We were.
I wish we were sponsored by Stone. Please sponsor us, Stone. I'm not even part of the cast, but sponsor
them.
Don't
send me more of these beers, though. I'm regretting
so
ever signing on for
here,
this.
So this one here, it says it's crash for those who adore both pain and pleasure, but mostly pain.
I came.
Be forewarned, you're playing with fire. Be prepared for the consequences. So basically, they took Arrogant Bastard Ale, Double Bastard Ale, and Oaked Arrogant Bastard Ale, and then
quadruple bastards.
Age them in Kentucky bourbon barrels. No, I don't like bourbon barrel age stuff.
I don't think this is going to change your mind.
I don't think it's going to change my mind either.
Oh, listen to that pour.
I love everything.
Devin would love that.
Yeah, but the thing about this is it has been blended with jalapeno, serrano, and other chili peppers.
I mean, they have multiple chili peppers?
So this is why it's called,
this is why they're called
Crime and Punishment.
Fuck.
And perhaps next week, well, not next week because I won't be here, but perhaps, you know, next time I'm on, we can try Punishment. But I'm gonna do the honors. I'm gonna take a little sip first.
Oh God!
Give us the review.
This will also lead us into our game as well. So.
Oh okay.
If
I like
not
what
vomit.
We're doing.
I was
give it on the nose.
Has it?
On the nose, you don't get a lot of that. There's not a lot of spice. There's not a lot of, you know, a lot of times with peppery beers and things like that, and like spicy beers, you immediately get that on the nose.
So it's kind of low key criminal.
It's masked definitely by that super boozy bourbon barrel aging.
Oh boy.
That's sultry bourbon. I need it. that juicy bourbon meat.
You know, I actually like this.
What? She would.
I actually like this. It is.
You fucking masochist.
Well, hand it over. Let Brandon try.
So the interesting thing about this is, first thing you get hit with is sort of the boozy sweetness of it, and then it hits you in the back of your nose with that heat.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You don't smell it, but you feel it in your nose.
You feel it, and you don't even taste it. You don't taste
Dylan
it.
Dylan, the anticipation is fucking killing me.
It smells like
Dylan
sweet.
Looks really stressed out. The worst part about this is that we're about to like drink this really hot, peppery beer, and we're in a really hot room.
It's already hot.
Oh, I've been sweating all day.
How's that? Is it helping?
Rachel pretty much summed it up perfectly. It basically tastes like any... whatever combination of a three beer love child bourbon barrel aged beer would taste like, and then there is this very, very powerful heat that just chokes all the way down. It's strong.
It's not pleasant, but it's not as I thought it would
be. Yeah, see, a lot of times when you get these sort of beers that have so chili spicy. Peppers in it, the chili pepper is the predominant flavor. And then I, as much as I love bourbon, don't really like bourbon barrel aged beers because they just get too boozy in a sweet way.
This
here, the sweetness of that is cut by that heat, like right in the back of your nose. It's like when you're like, oh my gosh, this is like too boozy and sweet.
This is a one sip beer.
Yeah, it's like, well, thank God I've got this heat, you know, and that heat is being cut also by this. And so,
I think we all agree it's decent for a sip, but we have a giant fucking like 750 milliliter.
I'm gonna drink that whole thing while we watch Street Fighter.
Yeah, this is gonna get drank tonight. Wow, you know, this cast has pretty much turned into like, you could be the next like ASMR beer reviewer on YouTube.
You're really good at this.
Am I?
Yeah. That was really nice. Now, you did say this is gonna lead us into a game, didn't you?
Yeah, so
I just want to say, I think that this beer is pretty much like the microwave massacre of beers. It's bad, but it's not as bad as it could have been.
It's not
I
as
like
bad
it.
As I thought.
I think that's kind of short.
I like it a lot. You know, I like it a lot.
It's still lingering.
All right.
Anyway, so, you know, now that we've sort of wet our palates, quite literally.
It's not the only thing that's wet.
that swallow was perfect timing. I love it.
You know, we actually got into this a little bit. This is sort of serendipitous at the beginning when we were talking about what sort of sauce we are. But, you know, between drinking this beer and between watching Microwave Massacre, I sort of was thinking, you know, if you were to be prepared as a dish, each one of you.
Oh, God.
How would you like to be prepared? What do you think would be the best way to serve
for example, how would Hannibal take us and
transform us?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can, if you'd like, you can include a wine or beer pairing.
Oh my God.
I got two.
God.
I think there's, I want to be served in kind of like an amuse-bouche of two different things. Mm. A starter where you've got kind of me a little bit raw, au jus. So there's just like a little cup of my blood next to it and you can dip me in, and eat. And then the other one, because I deserve to be lit on fire, is flambé. Please just light me on fire and kill me.
That's great.
Dylan, that was so good. How am I going to fucking follow that?
Do you have a pairing, a wine or beer pairing with
bleach.
That? Bleach. Perfect. Great.
That goes in your eyes, not your mouth.
It goes in your eyes, not your mouth.
It's important to use it properly. Follow the instructions.
All right. Blute?
Yeah, so this one's probably going to actually... I was thinking about this a little bit, but this will probably follow because I've been preparing it a lot for lunch, but I think I would be very delicious in a curry.
Oh, you would be. You'd be a spicy boy.
The trick is, I don't think my meat would be very flavorful, so you'd chop me up very fine, and you would use my chunks to absorb the delicious gravy that would go in there, right? It's very spicy, and it would cover up all the uneven flavor you'd get from my disgusting body.
Very true, very true.
As far as beers that you would want to pair it with, you'd want like a powerful pale ale, something fruity, to really make you forget that you're eating disgusting human flesh.
That's pretty good. Yeah. For me, I would say, because... like as a lady with some thick thighs, I've got a little bit of fat on the meat.
I've got a little bit of
I got a little bit of fat on the meat.
Yeah, I got a little,
it really popped.
A little bit of junk in the trunk, a little jiggly wiggly.
Microwave Massacre Boy would love you.
Yeah, he would. So I think I would probably be best prepared the way that you would prepare duck, a very fatty meat.
Oh yeah.
You know,
some Rachel fat fries.
Oh,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah. And so because of the fattiness of this, the richness of this, that I'm
Hannibal
sure
is getting excited.
I would say that probably a good pair for me would be a sour beer. Specifically, I'm thinking of the Rheingeist Peach Goza.
No, Peach I haven't Dodo. Had that one. I've heard it's very good, though.
It is very good. It is sour and fruity in a good way that would definitely cut that fat. And then, of course, the birthday boy, our pride and joy, who's just so cute, I could eat him just
How
as
do we
he is
eat
right
you, baby?
Now.
Eat him raw.
This is the most insane shit we've ever recorded.
I don't know. It's up there.
Dude, Hannibal would be just loving
do
this.
Do I ever disappoint with my games?
You are on point every fucking time.
So as delectable as I am, there's not a lot of me to go around.
That's very true.
So I'm trying to think
stringy
of, like,
boy.
Sushi. So, God damn it. I'm the fucking birthday boy! And you stole... My idea!
I can't believe I got that.
Oh, I'm the so, goddamn birthday boy.
I'm so sorry, birthday
this
dad.
This is getting edited out.
No, it's not.
Adam, no, shut it's up. Not. Edit. Here, get ready for silence. Here we go.
No.
Well, absolutely. Guys, no. You know, I had a really hilarious goof planned.
Yeah,
here it
tell
is.
Us your spoof.
Well, here's the goof. So I'm really tasty, but there's not a lot of me to go around. So here's
what if you're sushi, though?
Sabotaged.
I'm cutting the power. We're done.
So, man, I need the details.
Though. No, why don't you guys tell me?
I need
no.
the details.
Okay, well, man,
you guys sushi, tell me. You guys
sushi
tell me.
Is a very broad
yeah.
term. What kind of sushi
how
do you
eat? How
are
you eating,
nigiri?
Buddy?
Are you a maki roll?
Well,
are you?
I was thinking like maybe
crispy unagi.
God. I was thinking more like sashimi.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you know,
so
like
dreamy.
Just thin slices. You don't need much more than my meat and that little bit of rice.
When it's really high quality.
That's
yeah.
true.
So, man,
some high quality.
Very
meat.
Important question. Obviously, you'll be dead at this point. You won't be able to prepare yourself.
Is he though?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. So, man, do you have a chef in mind that would prepare your juicy, very valuable, very rare meat?
Juicy man meat.
I'm gonna say Leatherface. I would love to watch Leatherface create sushi.
I would love to watch him like have the precision to just
it would
delicately take
can
it
you guys,
off.
Can you guys like imagine like Jiro dreams of electric sushi?
Oh my
but
god!
Then,
yeah, just
did,
like
did
a little
like, when I did
like a turkey carver or something. Like he's
but like you just see him with like this like ultra high def like beautiful shots, and you've got narration over it, and
I'm,
he's like
I'm
cutting
like,
human
oh,
meat.
The scene from Edward Scissorhands where he's like clipping away at that ice sculpture or whatever, just really artistic shit.
That's why I like
and you bleeding and screaming that too.
Oh. That's
and
the best part.
Manton, now, are you going to pair yourself with a sake here, or are you going to pair yourself with a beer?
Well, Devin always said that Japanese beer was kind of shit.
It is.
All
he?
It's light
garbage.
Beer.
Yeah, yeah, I like, you know, I like rice beers, okay. I mean, but they're kind Oof. Of just like,
Well, he said
tastes
that,
like bad
he
dog
said
water.
That the they're, couple times he had it, it was just like, you go up to a vending machine, and you just insert your dollar, and a beer comes mm-hmm. out, basically, right?
That's what you want?
Well, I mean, that's all I'm worth.
That's true.
That is all you're worth.
I have very low
your
self-value, and...
beer.
Nice.
Yeah, there we go.
Great.
On that note,
that's been the cast, guys. So if you guys aren't completely horrified by what you've heard today, or maybe you are horrified and you want more, be sure to follow the Horrible Podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher. Leave them a review. Tell them they're great.
Tell us we're bad.
Say, wow, I really enjoyed when Rachel/Pugsplease was on there. She's really the highlight of the cast. Yeah. She's a great host, and she has really good beer tasting notes.
Mm-hmm.
You can say things like that. You can also tweet them to them. That's on Twitter, @HorribleCast. That's HorribleCast.
Rachel, when can we expect your spinoff cast where you do ASMR reviews of beer?
I was unaware that that was a thing that would people would be interested in.
Why don't we make that
absolutely.
Happen?
There's a need here. It needs to be filled.
If you're interested in that, I too have a Patreon.
Oh la la.
It's great. It's patreon.com/pugsplease, or you can reach it via my website, pugsplease.com. That's PUGSPLZ.com. The nice thing about going to my Patreon, though, is you can click on the creators that I'm supporting, and you will find that I'm a supporter of the Horrible Podcast.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You're so nice.
Yeah, I am a supporter of the Horrible Podcast. And I'm actually at the 666 tier where I get to choose a
Hail
movie.
Satan.
For them to watch and review.
Which I believe is coming up next week, is that right?
Which is coming up very soon. So I'm very excited about that. So you can get in on that action. There's some other great perks on there as well. So you should definitely check that out. And of course, you can always send them an email at horriblepodcast@gmail.com. Anything else that you guys have to say about any of that?
Nope, done.
No, I don't care.
Spooky.
This podcast is not good anyway.
Oh, come on, Manton. Bad attitude.
Oh, Manton, do you want me to sing Happy Birthday to you?
Please do.
No, you guys don't want
no,
this.
Please,
trust me.
There we go.
Happy birthday to you.
Stay spooky.
Oh dear. Me, oh my, it's a
happy
pizza.
Spooky birthday.
Oh, the juicy man meat.
Oh. Stay spooky, everyone. Bye.